Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the GBAC Nation on 105 through the Fan. We got the C-Note coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. It's mixed bag time. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, let's go ahead and shake it up and see what's coming up in our mixed bag next.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Mama. Leave the gut. Mama. Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get.
We're going to start with the story that has taken over the sports world this week, and that is Brennan Sorsby and the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Wreck 'em. Texas Tech is not a party to Brendan's lawsuit, I should say. This is courtesy of Kirby Hocutt, Texas Tech AD. We did not file it. We did not fund it. As he is reacting to everybody who is now threatening to not play Texas Tech and attempt to kick them out of the Big 12. Texas Tech has also notified Big 12 officials it is prepared to return to the courtroom, including against schools that say they won't play the Red Raiders. As one source said, Texas Tech is 100% ready to return to court. And you also had Joey McGuire today, who was at a football luncheon in Houston. He said, in regards to Brennan Sorsby, he's recovering from an addiction. I've sat down with this young man multiple times, and what he's going through and what he's been through is serious. So he is focusing on getting him some help right now.
It's just not that it's not that serious. You know, it's mental weakness and lack of impulse. And to have that compared to real addictions, you know, whether it's alcohol or heroin or nicotine, that, you know, substances that actually when you are withdrawing from them, it can threaten your life. Mm. You know, like people from alcohol withdrawal, they start shaking like 12 hours after their last drink. That's addiction. Okay, this is immaturity, poor impulse control, and being a complete idiot. And to compare that to real addictions is offensive.
Well, there are a lot of people that are kind of buying into this. There are some that are like you, that are like calling BS on it. And I get it 100%. My big thing is I just think that it's totally hypocritical. And I'm calling out every single one of these ADs and these teams pretending that they wouldn't do the exact same thing if they were in Tech shoes.
Yeah.
If this were the LSU Tigers or if this were our North Texas Mean Green, who would be irrelevant? Nobody would even care. But you name the school, USC, Ohio State, Michigan, the University of Texas, A&M. Like, the thing is, Brennan Sorsby makes their team better. And if a player, no matter what they've done, whether they have harmed a woman, whether they have a DUI, or whatever it might be, other kids that we look the other way and they're still going to play despite having legal issues, what Brennan Sorsby did is wrong, and I'm stunned that he is eligible. I thought that it was pretty clear cut and dry that if you bet on your own sport, specifically bet on your own team, it's a no-no, you're done. But he went ahead and got a judge and a court ruling that allow him to be eligible, and they will not go ahead and retry this until the season's over. So week three, Brennan Sorsby's playing. But for people to be, up in arms and trying to act like I'm all high and mighty here, we're not playing Texas Tech, we're not scheduling Texas Tech, boo-hoo, get over it. You're a bunch of hypocritical crybabies. You'd be doing the exact same thing, and Brennan Sorsby would be suiting up for you as well as he's going to suit up for Texas Tech week three. Why? Because he's your best chance to win, and that's all these schools really care about.
I do totally agree with you. You know, I don't think any school, well, there might be one or two out there. Maybe your BYUs, Like, we have a higher moral or ethical obligation, and we're a, like a religious school.
Okay.
So they're going to call us out for it if we don't stand on this, mm-hmm. if we green light, you know, something so ethically reprehensible. But I also think, Wolchuk, I'm not sure Sorsby's going to play. Because I think Tech wants to be in the old boy network. And in a lot of ways, they already are. But they're not in the SEC or the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And if the SEC or Big Ten finds a way to just wrangle this deal, and Tech spent the 5 years leading up to it in the embroiled in this, you know, back and forth, whether it's with Sarkisian or whether it's over Sorsby, like they're kind of making themselves the outsider, the agitating force in this story arc. And, you know, if it becomes a Super League situation, I think right now Texas Tech would be the first team on the outs. Like, no, we're not dealing with you guys. We remember what you did with Sorsby.
Yeah.
And while it might be true that all the universities would do that, it's the hypocritical nature of man.
Well, and no, they're not doing it from the 817 to protect the bottom line of a college football as a whole. Because Cincinnati knew this. Cincinnati knew it last year and he played for them. No, this wouldn't be a thing if Cincinnati didn't get ticked off that Sorsby wouldn't give back $1 million. So they went to the NCAA and said, hey, might be something you need to look at here. And then they did. And then, boom, here's the can of worms. So, no, these are all shady athletic departments that don't give a damn about what's right and wrong and the moral code. They care about wins on the field, butts in the seats, and cash in their pockets. And that's the way that it goes. And that's fine. But for them to pretend like, oh, gosh, now we need to put our foot down. Big picture, though, this might actually lend itself to some change regarding college football and how it's run. Like, the NCAA here clearly has no power whatsoever. So maybe now you do get, we've got a collective bargaining agreement, we do actually put a commissioner in place here, and you do have some actual real change, which is what other coaches and ADs are kind of pushing for. It just doesn't go anywhere. But maybe this is finally the straw that breaks the camel's back, that you do end up, for those that are pushing for this and some type of regulation, maybe this does end up forcing everybody's hand to make some real change here, and something happens.
Yeah, yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if the NCAA is no longer the governing body. You know, the whole history there, maybe it's time for a new league or a new governing organization to take this deal over. But I felt like from the very beginning of this, the story when it started to evolve in the late 20-teens was eventually you're going to have to get into a situation where you're giving the players 50% of the revenue so you could create the rules. You know, you can't create rules right now because you're saying we're the boss and we demand the right to determine your labor status to 18-year-old people. You can't do it. You know, so they would have to collectively bargain. But then the process of them giving 50% of their revenue, do you know how much these universities and conferences are going to have to reorganize and fire people? There's going to have to be a massive reckoning. Like, sorry, we got a Thanos snap half of our employees out of this university because we're not taking all of the revenue anymore.
No, you could be very right. That's why I felt like I think it's just all a bunch of lip service. I don't think they want any change. And this is another example of that, in my opinion.
Because nothing's truly broken when it comes to the product right now. Like, the fans aren't seeing this and saying, I'm no longer watching.
Right. We're all going to watch. In week three, I bet you those ratings for Brendan Sorsby, if he's playing for Texas Tech, are going to be crazy. We're all going to be tuned in for that. How's he look? And the pressure now on Sorsby, immensely high. This dude's got to go out and ball out. I mean, this could end up really, he might not play well. You know, we're all up in arms about this. Maybe Brendan Sorsby falls flat on his face. And this is just ultimately too much. If you're too mentally, to your point, if you can't handle, like, not betting for whatever it is for X amount of time, how are you going to mentally be able to handle being enemy number one every single road venue you go to? Yeah. I mean, the things that he's going to hear, the hate mail, the DMs, like, this is going to get crazy. For Texas Tech, I feel like the fan base was already kind of relishing and leaning into the villain.
Yes.
And that's fine. And do that. And you should. Because I think it's good for college football, actually, to have this. And for Texas Tech, you weren't being respected, and you were kind of the new kids on the block anyway. So I'm all for this. I think it's ultimately going to be fun. And for Tech, embrace that. But it is going to be fascinating to see just what all go. How does Brendan Sorsby play on the field after all this?
Yeah, yeah, he's going to be going through a lot, something that he's not used to dealing with, where he was flying under the radar at Cincinnati, and now you are the biggest story in all of college football, and it's in like a negative light. It's not even pressure of like, oh, we all expect you Arch Manning style to be awesome. It's like we all kind of hate you,
mm-hmm.
and we want to see you fail. and how do you deal with that? Did you see what McGuire said? He was asked from a crowd. I guess he was at some function, and they asked him, like, could anything prevent Sorsby from playing this season? Mm-hmm. And he said it's still a stretch for week three. And he said he's recovering from an – wait, did you already do this?
No, we'll check how to
read
paraphrase.
The recovering part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't have the context
of it. You guys were looking at me like this has already been said.
Yeah, I did.
I knew you
I did.
Said the hoe cut thing.
Yeah, I read the Joey McGuire. I thought maybe you had just had a different quote. But yeah, this one I did read.
Yeah. Still a stretch. So I'm like, what is that? Is that just the idea from like a football standpoint? They don't feel like he might be ready? Like it's still a stretch that he won't be available for week three?
Hasn't recovered from gambling addiction?
How it
ravaged his body and mind?
Well, yeah, and I don't know. Maybe he's saying it's still a stretch that he won't be able to play because they're not going to be able. I mean, I think we got the dates. It's like 2 weeks after the College Football National Championship when this thing's going to go to a retrial. So
yeah,
he's going to be good to go.
He's fine from that standpoint.
Now, maybe Texas Tech decides, you know what, we'll hold him out of a couple of games here. That's possible. Save face a little bit, but I don't foresee that happening.
Will Hammond just lights things up?
I think against Houston. Brendan Sorsby's playing that Friday night, and Fox is going to get themselves boomer of a rating. Okay, let's talk World Cup, baby. It's here. We're going to be watching it live. We got day baseball tomorrow, and then we're going to break in. We're going to give you all the updates on what's happening between Mexico and South Africa. The World Cup power rankings are out, courtesy of James Tyler of ESPN. Do you think Team USA has made the top 10?
No.
No.
You're right. In fact, Team USA is not even in the top 15.
Okay.
Number 10 is Norway. Norway's number 10 on their power rankings. They have bounced around at the lower end of the top 15 since the 100 days out mark, and it's clear that our voters fancy them a chaotic outsider pick that, thanks to the twin threat of Odegaard in midfield and goal machine Erling Haaland up front, they are bolstered by a very strong supporting class. They've got a ton of experience from the Euros. Norway might be a sleeper when it comes to this tournament. And number 9, they've got Morocco. Coming in at 9, if world-class fullback Hakimi is fully fit after missing several big games down the stretch for their club team PSG, Morocco will be feeling a lot better about their chances. They went to the semifinal in 22, and in 2025 they had a great performance at the Africa Cup of Nations. Morocco might be another team we need to keep
our eye on. Powerhouse. Them and Senegal, they have just done a tremendous job producing talent to the top leagues in the country. They probably have twice as many good players as the United States.
Wow, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
8, the Netherlands, baby.
They're going to win it all.
I'm with you, man. I'm pulling for the orange. I am. And I got some family members, like my wife lived in the Netherlands for a little while, so she's kind of pulling for them. She's got a soft spot for the Dutch. I think the Netherlands are a fun story, and they always seem to overachieve in these tournaments.
They play well.
They do. So
great soccer nation.
Yeah, and they're smaller than some of the other bigger countries like Germany and France, but they end up just showing up in a big, big way.
Great innovative style, some of the top players in the world. You don't think of Netherlands, but they belong.
And defensively, they're really good.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, Johan Cruyff was in the 70s, him, and they always battled like with Germany. Well, it was West Germany at the time with Franz Beckenbauer and
Beckenbauer.
Mueller and those guys, yeah. It was always a battle with those cats.
The Germans come in at number 7, speaking of Germany, as they are the 7th team in the World Cup power rankings. Then you've got Portugal. Portugal's another sexy pick to win it all. There's a lot of comparisons between Portugal and Argentina. Like Ronaldo's last run, are they going to rally around Portugal here and make it happen? But their 41-year-old star is certainly going to be the big story for Portugal in this one.
Man, if they'd have had this team when he was a younger man, they might actually have done something big.
What's your expectation for Ronaldo? Can he chant like what Messi did, where he still looked like one of the best players on the pitch?
Played very well in the Saudi League. This
still
year.
Looks great.
He was one of the best players in the Saudi League.
You know, I don't think he's a top 20 player anymore. I imagine he can't play the entire game at this age.
So you think he starts, or is he a guy that they sub in?
A combination of.
Okay.
But I think we're probably, as Ronaldo super fans, hoping to avoid embarrassment in some of these moments. Like some of the low light reels, he accomplished a lot in Saudi Arabia, but he's kind of losing the ball, tripping over the ball, like just stuff that you're not used to seeing. So there's some Willie Mays in the outfield going down with Ronaldo.
Brazil coming in at number 5. Check out their young winner, Estavao. He has been ruled out due to injury, and the squad lacks an established now number three striker. But they're going to rock this 4-2-4 formation. That's going to provide their attackers a really great chance to dominate the tournament. They're extremely fast up front. Their offense is going to be tough to contend with, writes ESPN for Brazil. England coming in at number four. They had a lot of tough decisions to make, and they left out some big-time names on their World Cup roster. 20 of its 26 selections were called into their very first England camp last year. So they've got themselves kind of a rebuilt team, does England. They're going to play Croatia in their first game here at, what is it, Dallas Stadium? I can't even say AT&T Stadium. I had to stop myself in real time. Your top three power ranking teams in the World Cup, Argentina at three, led by Lionel Messi. You've got France at number two, always incredible, led by Kylian Mbappe and Ryan O'Hanlon's ranking of the top 50 players of the World Cup. Dembele was one of the top players that he had listed. So France is just probably the team that's got the most talent coming into this thing when you just look at the top players' rankings. But number one is Spain. Spain is the favorite and the top team amongst the ESPN FC World Cup power rankings. We're just a day out of the start of the World Cup. Let's go, World Cup fever. You guys catching it?
Absolutely.
100%.
We're going to have 3 and 4 games on through this group stage every day. Having to be in the USA is a bonus. But, you know, it's hard, actually, I think, to be convinced after these last couple of cycles and how much disappointment we've gone through that a miracle run is possible. And a miracle run would be like the quarterfinals. Pochettino saying last night he feels like the team can win even though they don't have any players in the top 100.
Yeah, they really don't. I mean, looking at doing some of this prep for the World Cup, it really seems like the U.S. just doesn't have the back line. Their defense is going to really poor. And I think they got some good news with Richards. I think he is good to go, and he's going to be playing. But, like, offensively, I think they are going to be challenging.
And, hey, their outside backs are really good, Serginho Dest and Anthony Robinson. And having Richards in there is huge. But they have really struggled at center back for the last two or three cycles. And it's frustrating because, really, your only chance of winning is low-scoring games.
And I hate to do this. Did we have a young man that was playing for Crystal Palace that was pretty good in the back end?
Richards. Yeah
that's Richards? Him. Okay, yeah. I was sitting there.
No, they've got, I mean, like Weston McKennie with Juventus, and that's a local guy here. You know, we're going to be pulling hard for, I mean, like, and we talked about this thing a week ago. They actually do, probably entering a World Cup, have the most players that are also playing, like, high-level international soccer right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if they have enough
on
the back line.
Each adopt a team? Everybody got a team they want to adopt other than the United States?
That'll
be your team,
and you
come on and you talk about how well your team played.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm absolutely
World Cup report. You have to watch your team.
Let's
play.
Let's do that. Absolutely.
I'm gonna adopt. I will take the Netherlands.
You'll take the Netherlands.
I will take.
Damn
the,
it, that's
I will
a
be
bummer
the,
for me.
I'll be the correspondent for the Netherlands.
Okay.
You want the Netherlands? I'll give you the Netherlands.
If I can take them, I'll take the Dutch because
okay.
I know
take
I'm gonna be
Dutch.
Watching a lot of the Dutch because my brother-in-law is gonna be very plugged in. But I mean, you picked them earlier in the week, so
I think they're gonna win. But if you want to be their correspondent,
I'll be the Dutch correspondent.
I'll take Argentina.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Give me Brazil.
You don't want Italy? Oh, dang.
Yeah. Lucius, you want to be a correspondent for a team? Lucius, you want to be the correspondent for a team? You got a World Cup team you like?
Just keep up with them all the time and give you guys updates about the guys? Yeah. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can just homework.
Yeah.
60 seconds on soccer.
I'm going to punt on this one.
Yeah. LeBron's like, answer the question, my man.
No, man, we're good. I'll go ahead and take England then. I'll be the correspondent for England.
Somebody got Spain already?
No,
you got
can
Spain.
Take Spain.
I got the Spaniards. Your team. Yep.
Chief have a team?
I got Brazil.
Oh,
nice. Okay, we're there it
you
is. A mixed
covered.
Bag. We're coming back with the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening here. World Cup starting tomorrow at 2.
23 hours away.
We'll be in the midst of Rangers baseball, probably jumping on at 4:30. Probably should have a result from the first game by then. It's Mexico and South Africa. But C-Note is next here. It's the G-Back.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety, Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Ignition and the Fan. All right, welcome back. It's time to hit the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. Okay, let's cruise through some of these Cowboys stories. Had a mention of this on yesterday's show. Clarence Hill on Twitter says, if you let DeMarvian Overshown tell it, it's all been decided, said Christian Parker told him when he arrived he wants Overshown to be the mic and the voice in the middle of the defense, and Overshown plans to play it and own it. So great communicator, great leader. Is there anything, do you think, that would stand in between him and having success at that spot, Brian?
Injury.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Stay healthy.
Yeah.
Please.
Listening to him talk, though, man, he is fired up. Like, he's pumped about the Mike linebacker stuff. He likes being in the center of the action there. It allows him to kind of move freely. He's talked about, hey, I'm going to be playing free for the first time since going back to high school, his first year at Texas. I mean, Overshown was getting me fired up just listening to him. Now, he is a good talker, and that seems to be a theme with some of these guys, but he does seem locked in. He's buying into it, and please God, he can stay healthy, because he's also talked about the contract. He's like, look, if I go ball out, that will take care of itself. It doesn't matter who his agent is.
Yeah, great fit maybe for his personality, and maybe this scheme is a better fit for him, allowing him to go hunt the ball, make big plays, come downhill, and if all that comes together, I do feel like Overshown has it in him to be one of the top 10 linebackers paid in the game. Like $15 million plus is what I'd be thinking, best case scenario.
Yeah, I think the two guys that could really push this team on each side of the ball, you know, offensively, I think that's Jaden Blue, and defensively, it's Overshown. If Overshown is healthy and back to his 2024 version of himself, that does so much for you.
Okay, you mentioned Jaden Blue.
Wet blanket guy here.
What happened?
I'd still go get Bobby Wagner. I would still go get Bobby Wagner to play that Mike linebacker, because yesterday at practice, they were trying to kind of figure all that out. You know, they were figuring out how much do you trust James. Barham could be the guy. But to me, the one thing you need for this defense is you need to get it off to a good start. You know, and listen, we all love Overshown. All love him. But, man, Will McClay does a really good job of trying to protect himself. Go get Bobby Wagner. Even if you don't use Bobby Wagner initially, you have him, you know, you want to go ahead and start Overshown and all that, great. But you have Bobby Wagner there if something were to go wrong. If something, it could be injury. It could be that Overshown's not a really good Mike linebacker.
Sure.
That he's better playing in the weak linebacker. He's better running to the football. He's better playing the D winner spot than he is taking on blocks. You know, if you're going to try and play the run with four eyes and defensive tackles and a Mike linebacker and play coverage with everything else, you're probably going to need better than Overshown playing Mike.
So it's Wagner's ability to fight off those blocks.
It's Bobby Wagner's just badass stoutness.
Yeah.
When you're
see that.
It's going to be, you've got two really good defensive tackles, and you've got these guys that are playing like these four eye positions. You're going to try and control the run with that group. I don't know if you can control the run with Overshown being your Mike linebacker.
You might be right. I am curious to see it. I want to give him the opportunity to do it.
Oh, no, I'm
but maybe
with
they
you.
Feel like they've got Wagner in their back. I mean, I don't know what the market is for him. You're going to kick yourself if somebody does sign him, and now you're like, damn it, we waited.
I just feel like, to me, that if it's not Overshown, who is the other guy? Is it James? We saw James make a bunch of tackles.
I don't love James at that spot.
Okay.
I do think Barham is, like, big, physical, violent guy, but he's a also rookie, and he's kind of a tweener. Is he an edge player? Is he a linebacker? Obviously,
see,
they're
why I think
linebacker.
He was picked. I think that's why he was picked when he was picked, because nobody figured out what he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he an edge rusher? Is he a linebacker? I think that's why, and you have to have a plan for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cowboys have a plan, but to me, I am not putting all my eggs in one basket on Overshown.
And I'm D. Winters is going to be a weak side guy as well?
D. Winters is perfect to play the weak side linebacker. He's okay. Perfect the way he moves.
Didn't they say earlier in the offseason that the two inside linebackers are kind of interchangeable?
I don't mean to say I don't know, because maybe they did and I just didn't hear that. I just know one thing, that we're kind of learning a lot about the Mike linebacker, that the Mike linebacker doesn't have to play in coverage.
That was a big takeaway from Ross.
Yeah, and see, and that's the one thing, man, with Overshown, you really don't have to, but if he could play, it is going to be about being physical, because they are going to. They're going to have to play the run with their inside guys. And that means the one thing D. Winters can do is he can run, and he could get to the ball, and so could Overshown. But you worry about, though, if guys get up on him. The one thing that Bobby Wagner, and he's proven that for 15 years, whatever, maybe it's not that long, but he's proven that he could take on blocks and play at a very, very high level when it comes to defending the run. And I think it's a better, like I say, if you don't want to start him, that's one thing. But he could be, in case of emergency, break glass guy and go that route.
Okay, so this is just my X's and O's, you know, naivete wondering. You have a role for Wagner, even if he can't get outside and chase the running back down, because he's gone.
The problem that with Wagner is he's probably not going to play special teams for you and stuff like that. But what he is he's a damn good option if all of a sudden in week three, Baltimore starts running the ball down your throat.
Chief, I did want to get this in because you mentioned Jaden Blue, and we got Overshown in the first half of this segment. Some Jaden Blue on the back half, because Joseph Hoyt Morning News has a story up about the second-year Longhorn, and the buzz has been he's more dialed. Ross Winchie's saying that with Brian and Vach last week, their national scout. And then there's been additional insider reporting on the building around the buzz. So Hoyt did a story on this. Blue saying yesterday, I think I'm dialed in, way different from where I was last year at this point. Shoddy's quote in the story, the intelligence is off the charts. Mm. I mean, the guy is football brilliant. Mm. He really is. Okay. Shoddy, I was very honest with him, my opinion on why he wasn't active. So we had some really great conversations. He took that, he ingested it, took it in, and he's come back with a great look on his face and a great work ethic. If this is not cheerleading, if this is the real deal, then I'm okay with them not going out and getting another running back.
Yeah, I just went through, and DallasCowboys.com posted, you know, the video of all the interviews yesterday. So after the show, I went back and watched it. Overshown stood out, and I thought Blues, it seems genuine. Just kind of listening to him, you can kind of see a little bit of that hunger in his eyes. Like he does seem like he is locked in.
Nice.
And so, hey, this is Kool-Aid season. This is hopium season. He needs to prove it on the football field. But I'm buying stock. I would be buying stock into Jaden Blue right now if I were a Cowboy fan.
Blue said he needed to mature, reads the story, said he took a full look in the mirror, said he takes full accountability. Quote, really, I was just grinding, making sure I'm in the playbook, staying in contact with Dak, my position coach Derek Foster, Coach Shoddy, all offseason. I think those things, it's going really well for me right now. When he was talking about what he did through the winter and going into the summer, I was just grinding. Dak says he's growing, his ears are open, he's listening, and if you get the ball in his hands with his speed, with his ability to make people miss, it can be fun. We just have to find ways to do that. And Shoddy wraps up where we are now, saying he's going to be a huge part of what we want to do, but he's got to continue doing his part, which he's doing right now. And I think that's an important clarification. Like, at what point will you think that was just rookie year immaturity and now we got this Jaden Blue? I think maybe by midseason. Hopefully by midseason we're saying haven't had a single issue with Jaden Blue, and maybe he's at, you know, 500 or 600 yards with a half dozen touchdowns, and that would be massive. Oof. For this offense.
That would be huge. And as we're in the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening, step aside Dak Prescott. There is a new highest paid quarterback in the National Football League in terms of just APY, as Patrick Mahomes has just become the first $500 million player in the National Football League. He has agreed to a new contract extension that is going to pay him $504.75 million over the next 8 seasons. According to Schefter, that adds 2 years to the 6 years remaining on his contract and pushes his average salary now north of the $60 million per year range. So congratulations to White House, Texas's own.
Took 3 years to get there, huh?
It did.
Yeah.
Man, he likes doing those long deals, doesn't he?
I mean, he's locked in. He's not going to go anywhere else. And maybe that does ultimately help the team.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it does. The original one that he did was so long that it was just a matter of time before they ripped that thing up and created a new extension. But by the time you get 3 or 4 years into that, I'm sure it's going to be under market value.
I'd say a little bit about where Andy Reid's at right now, too. If he's signing maybe long term, he's thinking Andy's got him. Give him some assurance he's going to keep coaching.
Was he behind home plate last night? Andy Reid was behind home plate last night.
Yes, he was.
Game.
He left about the seventh inning.
That must be cool, man. Okay, we got to run. When we come back, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, there's a ranking I want to go through with my guys, and I need you to put these guys in order. We'll do.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That next.
All righty. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's Broadus.
Hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, Lucius. I appreciate you playing that, and thank you to Greystone for being a part of this as well. All right, I got to jump into this pretty quick because I think if I mess around here, I'm going to run out of time, and I don't want to run out of time. I was looking through Pro Football Focus.
Oh, real quick.
You got some?
No.
Oh, I thought you had something. No, breaking news.
I'm ready for it.
I'm excited about our soccer.
Did just have the Mahomes news, by the way. We got that in.
We did.
Congrats to him. 63.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well done, sir. And this comes from Pro Football Focus. And this is, they did a thing called the ranking of the most valuable non-first-round NFL draft picks since 2016.
Ooh, this is fun.
So they did. They had this ranking. They had their own ranking. But what I want to do is I'm going to give you the names, and we're going to rank them ourselves. There's going to be 10 names. So we'll start from the bottom, right? We'll
start from the bottom
and go to the top. But I'm going to give you the names if you want to jot them down, or and then we could debate in what order we want to put these guys in. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number one name is Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Got it.
Number two name is Jordan Mailata. Number three name is Tyreek Hill. Number four name is Dak Prescott.
Number one.
Number five is Puka Nacua. Number six is George Kittle. Number seven is Fred Warner.
Dang, Niners.
Number eight is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown. You got that right? St. Brown?
Mm-hmm.
We're good. Max Crosby's number nine. And Trey Hendrickson is number 10. Okay.
Okay.
So if we want to, we could go 10-1. How you guys feel about this?
Who would be
number 10 on this list? These are all players, most valuable non-first round draft picks since 2016.
Are we taking in their entire career as a resume, or are we saying you got to win in 2026 with these guys?
Entire career.
Okay. Very, very difficult.
I know. This is tough.
Brock Purdy.
You at thought 10? Brock Purdy was 10?
Yeah.
I kind of was. Trey Hendrickson a little bit of a late bloomer?
He was drafted by the Saints.
Yeah, he was, he so was
like,
a late bloomer.
Like, just kind of looking at just full career, I was wondering maybe Hendrickson's the 10 guy. Because I could see Purdy as a quarterback. You know, the quarterback's going to have to be propped up a little bit. Like, Purdy has saved the San Francisco 49ers' ass. Or else they'd have no quarterback.
Kind of looks like Mac Jones could have done it, too.
Mac Jones.
He was the, Mac Jones played okay last year. He did.
Okay.
But before that, they didn't have anybody else that was really competent. And then Trey Lance was a huge bust. I mean, they gave up a lot to go get him.
I mean, didn't they go with Jimmy?
They went
that was
with
a long
Jimmy.
Time ago.
They went with Jimmy.
Like 8 years ago.
Yeah. And Jimmy then after that, hurt. It was nobody else until Purdy. And then Mac Jones.
Purdy was drafted in 22,
by the way. Who was also a
first-round
pick.
Yeah.
I'd probably have Brock as the 10th player out of this list.
Okay. Dawson, you're there on that too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chief, you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Purdy's number 10. Number 9. Mailata, Hill, Prescott, Nacua, Kittle, Warner, St. Brown, Crosby, Hendrickson.
I mean, Hendrickson had a lot of sacks, but what he does in the run game is not helping you in the same way as a Max Crosby. And I think all these other guys, their impact, I mean, I don't know.
I lean Hendrickson at 9, too.
Hendrickson, then maybe St. Brown.
And he's taken a lot of sacks.
Hendrickson might have a great year in Baltimore. You know, if we did this at the end of the year, after he gets to play with Hamilton and Matabike and Minter. But I think right now I'm comfortable with Trey being at 9.
Okay, so Hendrickson becomes number 9. That eliminates him there. Number 8, that means Mailata, Hill, Prescott, Nacua, Kittle, Warner, St. Brown, Crosby.
I'll put Kittle in here just because he's been injured so much.
I agree. Yeah, he's a really complete player, and he's really, really good, but availability has been an issue.
Yeah, and this is a hair-splitting exercise. All these guys are next-level nasty. So,
you're going with Kittle at 8? Okay, number 7. Again, that leaves us Mailata, Hill, Prescott, Nacua, Warner, St. Brown, Crosby.
St. Brown?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be my vote. Because, I mean, with the wide receivers on this list, you're going Puka and, like, peak Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You're going over St. Brown.
That's just insane. You know, trying to differentiate between those 7 guys.
St. Brown's also a dominant blocker, but so is Puka. Puka might be just a little bit more versatile than St. Brown. I think Hill's probably the top of this list because he's actually got Super Bowls on his resume.
Warner's a cheat code.
Yeah.
Warner's going to be super. Warner or Mailata?
I would think Warner might be top 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best at his position for quite a while.
Yeah, I'd go St. Brown as the next ranking.
Dawson, you good on St. Brown?
I suppose.
Chief?
Yeah, I'm good.
I don't have a better answer for you.
Okay. Number 6, that means you got Mailata, Hill, Prescott, Nacua, Warner, Crosby.
Okay. I mean, at what point does Dak not get the quarterback bump anymore?
Then maybe this is the point.
Think Dak would be your 6th player on this top 10 list?
Or do you just put Puka here?
If you're taking position out of it, Puka is maybe the best player at his position.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He has been.
I'm approaching it from I'm team building, and I'm putting all these through. Like, this is your guy. You're taking this guy in the top 10. Would you rather have somebody else? And I would most like to have Dak.
Yeah, I mean,
we got Mailata here.
That's where I was leaning. That's why I actually wrote it down already.
Okay,
Mailata.
Mailata.
You're probably
going
to tell me he's a top 5 left tackle.
No, I love Mailata. I think he's absolutely outstanding. But I do think at some point, you know. Has he always been the best lineman on his team? And that's not necessarily a detriment to him. That could be a stupid argument on my part. But like Kelsey, Lane Johnson, you know, he has benefited from other really star linemen across from him.
That leaves you Hill, Prescott, Nacua, Warner, and Crosby. at number five.
Mm. Okay.
I think this is where I'd go Dak.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I mean, Max Crosby is an Iron Man. Great run defender, great pass rusher, on the field all the time. Has he been a defensive player of the year? I don't think he's been a defensive player of the year, has he? Crosby?
No.
The man plays 12 games, you make the playoffs, unless you have the worst defense in franchise history. I'm offended that you guys put Dak Prescott here. I'd go with Tyreek Hill.
It's 2-1. 2-1?
I think it's 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to put Dak here.
All right, Dawson.
Because people are ticked that we're putting Purdy over Dak, and I get it. I just think Dak's done less with more in his career.
Number four, that gives you Hill, Nacua, Warner, Crosby.
Or more with less, I should say. Here is where...
Hill, Nacua, Warner, Crosby.
I'd go Puka here. But that's tough. But I'm not going to put Puka over Tyreek. Tyreek's got a ring, and I think Warner and Crosby have been arguably the best at their positions, too, at times. Puka's there now, but like... What is it, 2 years we're looking at for Puka?
Yeah.
I think the others just have more years that they've done it at that similar level.
I mean, Puka as a rookie was like setting rookie records.
Yeah, he was. But Tyreek was also winning Super Bowls.
No, I get
you
that.
Know?
And he was making big plays.
Yeah. I mean, the Wasp, you know, they're not winning that championship without dialing up the Tyreek Hill play.
Yeah, and just the amount of respect that defense has.
Yeah, the speed. And then he still was damn good in Miami, even when he changed offenses and quarterbacks. He was putting up crazy numbers for a while.
Is this Nacua?
Or Crosby for me.
Make a choice.
All right, go ahead. Break the tie. Puka or Crosby?
I was going to say Warner.
Warner, okay.
Yeah.
Well, crap. All right, you can break the tie, Brian.
I like what everybody's saying here. I'm going to put Nacua here.
Okay.
Okay. Number three. That means you have Hill left, Warner left, Crosby left. Dawson's going to say that probably he thinks that this is Warner since he was going to vote for him at four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to vote for Tyreek at five, wasn't I?
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah.
You want Tyreek here?
Yeah.
It's fine with me.
Cool. Have it, Chief?
Yeah.
Cool. Hill, that's number three. All right. Now you're down to Warner and Max Crosby for two and then one.
Yeah, Warner's so great at his job, and whether it's stopping the run or being a force in zone coverage, like there's nobody like Fred Warner. So I don't want to take anything away from him, but the reason I was going to put him higher up is just that you can't compare what he's doing to being able to whoop a tackle and get you 50 or 60 pressures. So if I got to choose between those two, you know, I'd slot Warner in here.
How about you there, Wooly?
Yeah, I have so much respect for Fred Warner. I mean, I've seen him.
Just what he's done versus the Cowboys.
Yeah, those 2 years, he's Dak Prescott's kryptonite. I think Fred Warner's just an absolute savage.
Okay, so that means the number one player on our list would be Max Crosby, is who that would be.
No, I think it'd be Warner, right?
I thought you said Warner at two.
I'd go Crosby at two and Warner at one. I was saying Warner. I just have so much respect
for Warner.
I'm sorry. And I do. I have love for both of them. But yeah, I think I'd go Warner slightly over Max.
Yeah, very very difficult. But I probably would too.
Oh, say that's for number one.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, okay, Crosby so, two, one. Warner
so,
one.
And so I, Crosby two.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Crosby two, Warner one. Okay. So here it is. Just the way that they did it, the way that Pro Football Focus did it, was they went Purdy, Mailata, Hill, Prescott, Nacua, Kittle, Warner, St. Brown, Crosby, Hendrickson. That's the order they went in.
Where Hendrickson was their number one player?
That was number 10.
Oh, number
that was
10.
One to 10.
One was Purdy.
Yeah, number
one
was
Purdy.
Yeah,
and maybe
one was
we're
Purdy.
Not giving Purdy enough respect. I just still have not. He's struggled anytime he doesn't have, like, you know, the elite parts around him. And yeah. And I guess some pushbacks like, well, what's Dak done, you know, without some of that? But I still would say Dak, I think, has had more success with, like, no Trent Williams, Purdy sucks.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have a good left tackle, has he had a good left tackle the last couple of years? And he's still been putting up great numbers.
Here's the G-Bag Nation. It would be Warner, Crosby, Hill, Nacua, Prescott, Mailata, St. Brown, Kittle, Hendrickson, and Purdy. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Greystone Roofing. We're at the midway point of today's show. Rangers are back in Kansas City tonight. Pre-game's coming up at 6 o'clock. You also have the finals going down, Chief.
Yes, sir. The Knicks are pulling out all the stops for tonight's Game 4. That's next in the nation.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.